I'd like to welcome everyone to a very special episode of The Corner. We're at the Rouge Lounge at the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. We're bringing you two Mayweather Pacquiao shows, and tons of guests are coming through. Let's get right to it.
We're here. I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
All right. We have the lovely.
Introduce yourself, girl.
Yeah, don't be shy. There ain't no shyness on this podcast.
I'm not shy. My name is Jamila, a.k.a. Ja, the GoFundMe girl.
Hey.
That's who it is. That's who it is. Okay, so before we even get going, tell a story about what happened. And then I'll tell a story because I've known you before all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and talk about it a little bit.
Well, I mean, I saw the guy make $55,000 off of potato salad. So I said, listen, if he can make $55,000, I can make a couple coins too. Let me just see what I get. And it was just like an experiment. I was just curious. I have a really supportive like Facebook network, and they always look out. I can ask somebody, hey, I need my lawn mowed, and somebody be like, I'll do it. So I said, why not? Let me just try it.
Yo, life is so nice.
Let me just see what happens. And I started getting a couple donations, and it went viral. I don't know.
When did you know that, like, yo, it's real? Like, I'm starting to get real money off of this. Did you just wake up and be like, look how much dough I got?
No, I did. I just woke up one day, and I was like, wait a minute. My phone was going crazy. And it was all because Charlamagne retweeted it and tried to clown me, and it just went crazy. It literally, like, my phone was going off the hook, and it just went viral. I didn't expect it to go viral that fast, but it just kind of went crazy.
Better question: when did it go bad? Because then it seemed like this shit went just completely south all of a sudden.
It was good and bad at the same time.
Free money's never bad.
Exactly. As soon as it went good, it went bad. As soon as it went viral, like, I really got death threats. Like, people were like, when you're in Vegas, watch your back.
Wait, are they here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm watching
my back. You gotta
watch
our back?
You ain't got no glass in this. Like,
it got crazy.
Like, shit, like the president. Gotta get bulletproof glass for Jamila.
People really was mad, and it's like, why are you so mad? I don't get it.
Yo, who donated the most money? Or is it like secret donations, or is someone just come through and was like, yo, hold this?
No.
I want to see you flourish in Vegas fight weekend.
Listen, GoFundMe, you can donate anonymously, so the viewers can't see who it is, but I can see who it is. So I had one donor. Everyone that donated, I knew. I met them before. They're, people. And one donor donated $800. I never met him before. Never seen him before. He never tried to like talk to me after it. Like, he was a.
That's it.
He was a Ravens player.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit. And, well.
And you know what he said when he donated? He emailed me. He said, "Listen, I saw all the hate you got, and I just wanted to help out." I said,
"That's
oh.
like shoot your shot number one rule." Right there. Like, I don't want anything back. I'm just trying to help you out, baby girl. And he's here somewhere.
No, he's
like,
not.
Like, he's just chilling. He's
not.
He's going to Vegas.
He's a married man, number one.
Which Wait, really what?
This the NFL, which, by the way.
This shit
is
the
NFL.
Wait.
Yo. Does his wife know about this donation? He's really married.
I would never expose him because he looked out. I would never expose him.
No, of course
but
not.
But he never came on to me. And see, y'all laughing.
I'm sorry. He's your Mr. Big. It's like Sex and the City. He's your Mr. Big. We got your Mr. Big.
No, he looked out. He never came on to me and tried to talk to me. Like, he was really did it just genuinely.
The kindness of his heart.
Yes.
Okay, so wait.
I said, listen, are you going to be in Vegas? Like, I was confused. Like, he said, no. I saw the hate, and I just wanted to look out. I said, oh, all right.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, a lot of people knew you from that, but I've known you before that.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I worked at BET. And, that's another story in itself. But people don't know, like, you're an author.
I'm an author,
You're a working girl. I wasn't just out here just trying to get handouts.
And that's what made me so mad, because some people attacked me so hard. Like, oh, she's broke. Oh, she can't afford to go. She don't need to go. No, listen. I'm a hustler. I hustle people for money for a living. I work at a strip club. I do bottle service. So that's how I make money. Like, I make money from
other people
taking people's money. Outside of that, I have a full-time job, 9 to 5. I have a degree in journalism. I work 60 hours a week. I work, and I wrote 2 books. And I hustle my books. I sell my books. I'm trying to write a movie. Like, I'm not some bum bitch that just... Listen, I've been to the last 4 Mayweather fights.
I know I seen you.
So so it's not like... You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just this girl they made me out to be. But people who don't know me are, of course, going to say that. Like, that's what it is. And I accept it. Like, at first, I was, like, trying to attack every person that... I'm not used to getting that attention. So people was commenting. I'm commenting back like, fuck you. I'm not broke. I couldn't help it. But at this point, I'm just like, I know what I have. I know my net worth. I'm cool.
But you,
I'm comfortable.
But you also transitioned your GoFundMe into something else for a cause.
Yes.
Talk about
and
that.
And that's what's really crazy, because people got so mad about it. Before I did my GoFundMe, I posted my friend from high school. She has cancer. She had breast cancer. And before I even did my GoFundMe, I posted hers on my page. Did anybody donate? Of course not.
Mm.
Nobody donated. I posted it on my page because I know that, like I said, my Facebook is really supportive. So I posted it. No one donated. When I did my GoFundMe, her brother, who I used to babysit when way back, her brother contacted me and said, hey, listen, can you, you know, post my sister's GoFundMe? I see you're getting all this shine from yours. Sure, of course. I haven't talked to her since high school. I found out she had cancer through Facebook. But we was cool in high school. I used to babysit her little brothers. Of course I would post it. So I posted it. And of course, social media and the haters went crazy. Oh, you need to give her all of your money and blah, blah, blah. Listen, my network is different from her network. Like, my network is very supportive. Like, they supported me. And it's people that I knew. I didn't do the GoFundMe expecting, like, strangers to donate. I did it expecting, like, my network to donate. So, long story short, her people, they started to donate once I promoted it. And it sucks, because that's just the society that we have. Like, it is what it is. I gave her the proceeds. I gave her anything after the $1,500 that I asked for, I gave it to her.
Yo, how'd you come up with that number, 1,500? Because this is Mayweather weekend. It seemed a little bit low for a number at 1,500. You must got your own paper, because that's
well,
like
I've already
one
said
way
I have
trip.
My own paper. But I came up with 15 just because normally I only spend literally $500 out here when I come out here. Because I'm a female, I don't have to spend money.
Of course.
Of course.
I don't have to spend money. So I said, all right, flight and a hotel, $1,000 maybe, $500 extra spending, $1,500. I just guessed a random number.
And to be clear, a lot of people on Twitter, they've been talking when the article came out and, you know, when you went viral and stuff, people were talking like, yo, you're going to fit 8 girls in 1 bedroom for $1,500. She's not here with 8 girls.
Slander.
She got her own bed. Did Vegas right.
I'm here with 1 girl.
Just a friend.
My friend chilling. Right here. My girlfriend, Zabel. Hey, boo.
We were waving doing shit.
Yeah.
No, I don't need 8 girls in a room. Like, that's what I was on Instagram, like, my thumbs was going sore. Like, I was going in. Like, fuck y'all, I'm not broke. Like, I was so mad everybody's calling me broke. I'm not broke.
Yeah, rule number one, now that you know, never comment on somebody who comments on your shit. You open
in
a can of worms. You can't do it.
I've never been that exposed. So I had 2,000 comments. People just going in. It was new to me. Like, I'm not a celebrity. I'm not Kim Kardashian. I don't know how to handle that. Me, I'm going back and forth. Like, now I learned my lesson. I would just sit back and let them talk. It's nothing I can do about it.
So now that you're here, what are you looking forward to? The fight? After parties?
I'm just looking forward to get drunk. That's just...
Let's go.
And you know how real that is? Like, what she said
is... this podcast over.
No. Like, this one right here, let me tell you. Internet. This one right here, when she said, I'm going to get drunk, it's going to happen.
He already knows.
It's the inevitable.
I took...
Don't matter what fucking time it is.
How many shots did I have? I got here. I landed at 11 o'clock today, and I probably had 1, 2, 3, 4, six drinks already.
She's endangering her guest appearance on the podcast.
You know, I need to catch up right now. Like, you got a bar right there.
I'm a drinker.
As soon as it's over.
I love liquor. I like to have a good time. Like, and I'm not out here twerking and being crazy. I just like to chill. I like to turn up. Like, I have a good time. Like, I'm just.
You look like you're having a
I'm
good
fun.
Time. That $1,500 went to liquor. Listen, she got her own money. She got her own room, her own flight. You funding the six drinks she already had.
Listen, it is what it is. I mean, all actually, right. I only bought two of my drinks.
See?
Somebody else.
Jesus.
Yo.
Are you going to hustle into the fight, too?
I'm trying to. I went to the last four fights. So, and I usually never know until the day of the fight. Somebody hits me up like, oh, I got an extra ticket. All right. So I'm hoping, but this is going to be a tough one. So
you don't say.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be as easy as it normally is.
I'm going to look over. You're going to be third row chilling.
I have better seats than us and shit.
Yeah.
No, but if all else fails, I already got my tickets to watch it at Aria. So I'll be there if all else fails. I'm trying to get in the fight. Anyone want to give me a ticket, you know?
Yo, right now. Anyone listening?
Right now.
This will be out in time.
It's going to be another mysterious football player.
Yes.
With a ticket.
Out of the kindness of his heart. Yes. In your DMs, like, yo, here, hold this ticket real
Sliding
quick.
In.
I don't want nothing. He going to show up in the seat next to you.
Yeah, that works for me. I'll take it. Listen, I'll take anybody's ticket, money. I don't care. Like, I'll take your boyfriend's money. I'll take your mom's money. I take your uncle, your cousin. It's up for grabs. If you wanna offer it, I'll take it.
Well, Jesus. Thanks for coming on with us.
Wait.
Oh,
you always have to ask.
Oh, listen.
I know. I mean, do you care who wins the fight? Do you give a shit?
Oh.
It wouldn't make sense, right?
I do only because I've been to the last four, so I'm kind of just hoping Mayweather just wins it. I think he will. I just think it's set up for him to win. Pacquiao, come on. I just don't think it's gonna happen.
All right.
She ain't feeling the Pac-Man.
No, I don't.
Do you like Mayweather? Because you know a lot of people just hate him.
People
but they hate
him.
You too, right?
Exactly. They hate him because he's flashy but at the end of the day, he's a good athlete. Like he's gonna win it. I think he's got it.
Well, there you got it. He's gonna win it and we're gonna get drinks. So we'll be right back with another guest. Y'all chill out. We're just going to see if we can pull someone real quick. We're going to see who's up next. We'll let you guys know on the other side of this. I'm going to get a drink. Andres, hold it down.
Wait. Jamil, you got to plug yourself, like the books and
yes,
all that.
I'm
going to get a drink while
you
do
this.
Yes. Listen, my first book, I'm trying to write a movie on it. So y'all got to get the book. It's on taleofgreed.com. It's a decent book. It's based on like two girls.
Decent. How you plug yourself and say your shit is decent?
It's Philly slang. It's Philly slang. We say decent. Decent means good. All right. Yeah.
All right, we got chiming in over here. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
But it's two girls, like they're young girls, and they move to New York, and it's just a story about them trying to get money and the things that they do to try to get money, and it's related. People were saying, oh, listen, it's you trying to get money and. You're doing it like the wrong way. No, I'm doing it the right way. I'm not on my knees getting it, so. But the girls in the book, they doing some other shit. So anyway, get the book. It's on taleofgreed.com.
All right, and your Twitter, people don't have it, but let's.
Everything's the same. My Twitter, my Facebook, my Instagram is Jah423, Jah423.
All right, we're going to let you go have some drinks then.
Yes, I need some more.
Good having you.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get out of here. The champ is 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 here.
Oh, man. Okay. You guys are missing out on an incredible time here.
Yes.
But to our guest, intro yourself, man.
What's up, guys? Martins Vanderbilt, Yahoo Sports. I'm the Xavier Woods of your Biggie Langston and... Kofi Kingston over here. New day?
New day?
Oh, shit. I didn't expect that one.
We're clapping.
I did not expect that one coming. Now I'm thrown. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kel.
What up, Dre? What up, Kel?
You called us the new day of podcast.
I don't know if I should like that.
Yo, so
they the champions, right?
That's true.
There you go.
I'm awake. Does that make me Big E?
Yes.
Yeah. You're Big
E. I got to wear a singlet?
You got to wear that uncomfortable looking singlet. That's what you got to do. Mr. Langston.
Yo, they're going to Photoshop us onto the heads of the New Day.
It's not a bad idea.
We're going to be on Twitter tomorrow.
That'd be great. I don't have any Photoshop skills, though.
Nah,
speaking of Photoshop, Marcus sent me a picture today.
Yeah, let me pull it out. Hold on.
It was the SmackDown preview of New Day with the tag titles, and they're photoshopped on. It looked like a fifth grader did it. It looks horrible. It's just bad.
Yo, they couldn't just take a picture of the New Day after they won it?
Of course.
Why they got to do my people so wrong?
Well, you know why.
Come on. We just talked about this a couple episodes.
Yeah,
again?
I'm telling you. Melanin.
They're doing us wrong again.
Are you surprised?
I am not surprised. Okay. I can't wait until they feud with primetime players, and we're going to get the most entertaining black television.
Look at that.
Housewives.
Look at that.
Oh, my God. It looks like the little cartoon caricature joints. I used to have that for my little action figures when I was 5.
Looks ridiculous.
Oh, God. They're doing us so dirty. WWE, you know y'all out there. Y'all got to change it, man. Y'all wouldn't do that to the Lucha Dragons.
Look at that. Look at this picture.
Here's a much better photo.
Show this.
You wouldn't do that to the Ascension. Like, why we got to do like that?
Because
the Ascension.
Well, they would never get the titles.
No, they ain't never getting the titles, but still. Tyson Kidd ain't get photoshopped.
That is true.
That's true.
They doing us dirty, man.
It's
dirty.
Bad. It's bad. Before we get into some WWE stuff, though, it is Mayweather Pacquiao weekend. Marcus here on behalf of Yahoo Sports. First of all, how many credentials did you guys put in?
No comment. Listen. Less than ESPN is my answer.
Good answer.
For those that don't know, there's been about 1,000 credentialed media for Mayweather Pacquiao. And ESPN has basically taken up like half of that by bringing their entire staff. Yahoo's not too far behind.
I'm surprised I'm here. I don't know how I got
here. We're in single digits.
Well, see, single digits isn't bad.
When you look at some people.
ESPN is deep. Deep. They're like the money team.
Kel said it, not me.
Yeah, I saw someone the other day, full track outfit, ESPN logo on the back. Got hats. They're rolling deep, yo. Their crew is legit.
Shit is real. Yeah. Okay, so it is. So for you, Marcus, the work that goes into this week, Kevin Ioli's got to be overwhelmed.
You would think so, but Kevin is so good that he not only did boxing coverage today, he also filed an MMA story.
How?
Because he's amazing. I don't understand how this man operates. He tends to write and write and write and write some more. So I'm sure, plus, Kevin, he's like the mayor of Press Row. I'm sure he's loving seeing not only his old friends, but also new faces in Media Row.
It's kind of crazy. All right, so, we're fans. We're fight fans. We worked at BET together.
Yeah, we need to do a separate podcast on that.
That's a whole nother podcast. Yeah. Lamar, I just got to get your take. We were getting predictions for the fight. 5 years ago, who would you have picked, and then who would you have picked today?
Mayweather. I think 5 years ago, Pacquiao would have had a better shot of catching Floyd off guard in the first couple of rounds. But now I think there's just no shot that Floyd's willing to set himself to be caught like that. And, once round 3, round 4 kicks in, Floyd's going to shift gears, and it's going to be, all over, unfortunately.
Yo, real quick before we move past that too far, Glasses Malone said Floyd's the best ever. Yay or nay? Shout out to Glasses.
Glasses, if you're listening, yay. If you're not listening, nah, you're tripping.
Political.
Yo, but I like it. You're giving great media answers right now. See, this is how this man works at Yahoo. He's riding the fence.
I would say top 10, maybe.
All right, so right behind Rocky Marciano.
Stop it.
I had to throw that in there.
You've got to stop doing this, man.
I always got to get you riled up, Andres. Always.
You got to stop doing this. Like, all right, we've been arguing on Twitter. You've been on this Rocky Marciano retired undefeated, so he deserves to be in the top 5 of all time.
He could have been 5 through 8. I needed a tiebreaker. He was the undefeated fighter.
You can't be serious, right?
Yo, it was him, Duran, Hagler, and Frazier. 5 through 8.
No Willie Pep. No Henry Armstrong.
Needed a tiebreaker.
No Joe Lewis.
Joe is right there somewhere. Wow. I need a tiebreaker. He took 5.
Marcus, can you talk some sense to my co-host here?
I've listened to every show now, and we need a hashtag for Joe because some of the shit he says on the show.
That shit's greatness, yo. Pure greatness.
I wouldn't call it greatness. Great bullshit, maybe, but not greatness.
Yo, he slanders everything. He slanders Dolph Ziggler.
I wouldn't even mention Ziggler because,
Ziggler's... He's great, forever intercontinental champion.
That's not a problem.
Y'all are fine with that.
Mr. Perfect.
Okay, that's fine. He is Mr. Perfect. Swagger Jack, Mr. Perfect, whole routine.
He's a Hall of Famer then.
He Swagger Jacks everything. If we want to talk about Ziggler for a second, he uses like 8 people's finishing moves. goes for a famouser, a super kick. Like, my man, you got anything?
You hear the animosity in this man's voice when he talks about this
shit? And his finisher is whack. Anyway, back to Mayweather-Pacquiao. Ziggler just had to catch that real quick.
Look. Does anybody care about this undercard? We just had the undercard press conference today. And that shit, my God.
Yo, Leo versus some dude. I'm put this away.
Leo versus some dude who's wearing, like, a knockoff, like, Nike t-shirt and, like, a knockoff Maypat hat. I mean, listen, the dude even said he's, like, 110th in the world. I'm sure he did a nice little check. I like Santa Cruz personally, but I just think we're going to get two twit fights, and then we're going to have people, A, will be confused because normally you get three undercard,
exactly.
Maybe sometimes four undercard fights
right.
Before the main event. So there's going to be a lot of people who around 8:30 when the fight's already starting are just now turning on the television and they're like, yo, what the fuck? So in terms of the actual competition though, no, it is what it is. It's been this way for probably the last couple years now for these major fights. Undercard has been lacking.
It's like, you know, fighters say I want to be on the biggest undercard, but it's like I asked Santa Cruz today, I was like, but there's going to be an empty arena. Nobody's going to be watching your fight. I mean, there's going to be a few people that diehard fight fans, but nobody cares about the undercard.
Not many people are watching that, yo.
And like, I forgot if it was Aram or Leonard telling the story about a Pacquiao fighting on the undercard for
Aram.
Tyson and what, Holyfield?
Tyson Lewis.
I mean, listen, if Santa Cruz is headlining a supercard 10 years from now, good for him. But it's not because he was on the undercard of the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight.
Funny thing, Marcus, you were there. What did Leonard Ellerbe call Jake Gyllenhaal today?
Why was Jake Gyllenhaal
Jake Gigi.
So here's the story, right, Kelsey? You wasn't there. So we had the undercard press conference, and one of the sponsors is Southpaw, the new movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
And Leonard Ellerbe apparently has never heard of Jake Gyllenhaal and didn't even try to pronounce his name right. So he saw, like, the Y and all that shit in his name and just said, and Jake Zhuzhuzhuzhu. And ran with
yo,
it.
Yo, just
like,
kept moving.
Like straight face, like, all right, I said it right.
No fucks given.
He's not a fan of Prince of Persia, I'm guessing.
Shit, who is a fan of Prince of Persia?
Nah, that's crazy. So you said you got Mayweather in a fight. Anyway, Pacquiao wins this, though? Yeah, anyway, like, you give him the smallest of margins of winning?
Magic beans?
If that's code for something else, sure. I would give him maybe a 10% chance, and it would have to be rounds 1 through 3. He's not going to catch him early. He's not going to catch him late. So
his 9 o'clock, it's Floyd's fight. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I can start writing my article early.
And I think round 1 is going to be that round where it's going to probably be the most electric, and you're going to see Pacquiao take these shots, but if you haven't seen a Mayweather fight, you might think he's getting hit, but in reality, he's absorbing these hits defensively. So don't be fooled into the, he wasn't hurt, trust me. So he's out to catch him early.
All right, let's talk about the real star of the show, wrestling.
All right.
So, we've been wanting to talk about this ROH card for like 3 weeks. How hype are you about this ROH card? Ring of Honor for people, you know, just tuning into a podcast.
I'm a recent ROH fan. I went to the show with Andreas out in March.
Yes.
The anniversary show. And I'm trying to carve out 4 days of alone time because I just got married a few weeks ago. So
I was at the wedding. It was beautiful.
This is going to be tough to pull off 4 nights of, I got work to do. So this card is pretty stacked. And, you know, I think ROH is a great alternative for people like myself who's getting pretty stale on the WWE product. So if you haven't seen ROH before, I would definitely check out one of these 4 shows just to get a sense of what they're about. And if you're not familiar with New Japan, this is also a great primer to New Japan because,
yeah, definitely.
You know, Carino and Kevin Kelly are good at really sort of breaking down these guys and sort of like starting from scratch. So you get a sense of who these guys are. So I would definitely check out one of the cards.
See, if you look at the card, I don't have it in front of me, but I, off the top of my head, you got a triple threat with the Young Bucks, the Kingdom, and the influence.
As a four-way, it's
a four-way. You're right.
It's Beretta and Rocky Romero.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just
loaded. Like, hard for me to talk about wrestling in the middle of Mayweather Pacquiao week. You know,
sometimes you got to do it, man. We talked about Jake Gyllenhaal, and
we
I can pronounce
talk about
his
Jake
name.
Gyllenhaal.
Wrestling got to get some love.
And LB, man, you got to get it right.
We're now the new day, obviously.
Right.
Whenever Marcus comes in, we are the new day.
The champions.
Champions. What other boxing events are really catching your eye? Obviously, you have to do a lot of work in the industry and with boxing. Like, going forward, is there a huge letdown after this fight? Or is it something, you know, to keep interest going? A lot of people are worried about that.
You know what's been great for boxing is the whole PBC element in terms of providing pretty much weekly shows. I mean, next week, it's not PBC, but we got Canelo fighting Kirkland. Sorry, Kirkland.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got no shot.
Get the check.
And then after that is what?
After that, we got a Triple G
in Inglewood, in L.A. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Manslaughter after manslaughter.
Now, could you see Triple G making the desperation plea to Floyd just say, hey, if you're going to do one last fight, if you're thinking about 160 with Cotto, why not fight a real man and myself and
of course
pass the torch?
Triple G is going to do that. He's been calling out Floyd ever since, like, when we talked to him 2 years ago. He's wanted a piece of Floyd. He said he'll come down.
154.
Gennady Golovkin wants a piece of Floyd Mayweather.
That punching power at 154 is scary.
He's a scary dude.
And if I'm Floyd, I totally understand why you say no.
Yeah, you absolutely.
No, you got to say no.
You say no. Just say no.
Not enough money in the world.
Yeah.
Nah.
And he loves money. Not enough money in the world.
Not for your final fight. No, that's not how you want to go out.
Nah. You thought the Pacquiao memes were bad?
Oh, my God.
Let Floyd get laid out. Let him walk into the wrong punch. He's never seen the end of it.
So does this mean that Gennady Golovkin is the next big boxing star?
Nah. He's foreign, right? Like, it's rough. He's not going to be bigger than Wilder. I mean,
Deontay Wilder? That's your pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's relatable. He's a heavyweight. He is relatable. He's American. You can market him. He can be in Nike ads. He can be, you know, the face of something. Triple G, say four words. And I think he's a great boxer. I think he's a great person. It's rough to market that.
I don't know, man. His English has gotten a lot better. He's gotten a lot better, and people pay to see him fight. People don't pay to see Wilder fight like that yet.
People don't know Wilder yet.
Yeah, Deontay, like, the heavyweight division is still trash.
Until the Klitschko's retire.
You said next, and if he could beat Klitschko by
that,
any stretch of the magic,
that would change
everything.
That would
change. Superstar.
Yeah.
But the next great star, he has to be it. And technically, I feel Canelo is currently the next great star.
And I think Canelo is still my choice because, yeah, remember, he's only, 25
now?
No, I think younger than that. He's 23 or 24.
God.
That's how young this guy is, and he's got a bunch of experience under his belt. And I just think he's waiting for Floyd to retire so he can sort of get back and, you know.
Those Mexican holidays over and
exactly
sell out Vegas.
Cinco de Mayo is Canelo's. As soon as Mayweather retires, Cinco de Mayo is Canelo's.
Let Canelo learn some English. And look out. All he needs to do, if he learns a little bit of English, enough to do just your basic, like, highly questionable interview, he'd be set. That's what he should be working on between now and when Floyd retires.
So you're saying he just has to sound like Poppy from Highly Questionable?
Yes. That's all he needs.
That's
all he needs.
And he's golden.
He's golden.
It makes perfect sense because, again, with Canelo, he's got the look. Women love him. He can fight. Instead of working on cutting weight, work on your English.
Women do love him, though.
Yeah, just do a couple ESPN commercials. I mean, you'll get an endorsement deal.
Yeah.
And that's it. That was always Tito Trinidad's biggest drawback because he didn't speak English. He struggled. So, you know, that's my take.
All right, Marcus, before we get you out of here, plug all your stuff. Let them know where they can find you. You know, he's the most interesting man on the internet if you don't follow him. He's it.
You over here flexing hyperbole stuff. Muscles today, huh?
Well, I'm saying, yo, you got dope stuff. He'd be dropping gems, little jewels.
I tweet random shit. Like, it could be a car chase one night or wrestling the next night. So, first up, I got a podcast, The Kings of Sport, myself and Nate Milton. You can find that at thekingsofsport.com. And then Twitter and Instagram, Marco Will, MarcoWill. And, of course, Yahoo Sports.
Look at that. Look at that. So another quick little break. We're going to walk around, grab another guest. We're chilling. There's a rock in the building. We'll be right back.
Oh, Jesus.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
All right. What's up, everybody? We are back. More guests. Less a rock. The rock is done. It was that quick. We ain't playing games around here. Another guest. Thank you for joining us. Intro yourself.
What's going on, y'all? My name is Ismael Abdusalam, writer for BeatsBoxingMayhem.com, also for KnockoutNation.com, contributor to AllHipHop.com. Also, the Knicks site, NYKLoyalist.com. A little rough for the Knicks this year, but, you know, we hanging in there.
I commend you for writing for that. That's rough. You got to wake up every day and just...
painful.
Got the
I can't
mean
even say anything.
On.
Like, this is a combat sports podcast, but somebody need to knock Dolan the fuck out. Because I don't know what's going on over right there with New York. Good Lord. All right, I'm sorry.
I understand. Everybody say it to you, just look at me like, it's a tough job, isn't it? I'm like, yes.
Okay, so look, Ismael, I've known you for years, mm-hmm. and this is not our first rodeo.
Right.
How does this compare to every other Mayweather? First of all, it's only Thursday.
Correct.
It's only Thursday. So right. How does this stack up to the other big fights that you've covered?
This blows everything away. The closest thing would have been Mayweather-Canelo, and that pales in comparison. This whole event, even the lead-up, has been ridiculous. The press, the people here who don't cover boxing, who are posing as experts, you know, everything, the whole process has just been ridiculous. So I can't even imagine what the weigh-in is going to be like, what the fight night's going to be like, especially if the outcome is anything controversial. You know, we might be talking about this for months, if not the rest of the year.
Yeah, shout out to the people faking like experts, taking all the credentials.
Exactly.
So many of them. And first of all, again, we're broadcasting from Rouge at the MGM Grand. There's like a ton of people walking by with badges. I think it's like a field trip going on at the MGM.
Right.
Yeah, right? I need to pull some of these people. I just go into the crowd.
You think any of them know what's going on?
Nah.
All they know is they got their credentials, so they're straight.
Yo, I don't know Silicon what's going Valley? On behind us, yo. Make sure you guys come out tomorrow and see this. It's
exactly.
crazy. I don't know what's happening.
And this is the thing. We've always said we want boxing to be more mainstream. That's what all of us riders say. They need to do more to make it more mainstream. This is the consequence.
Until they take all our credentials.
Exactly.
Right, and then none of us are ringside.
It's what you asked for.
Us Weekly, like, covering the Mayweather fight. Don't know shit.
Yo.
That's where we're at.
People Magazine, all of them. They all here.
Yo, it's crazy.
Wait, Kel, were you there, just off subject, kind of, at the UFC fight when Holman Garden was there?
Nah.
Asking questions?
Oh, God.
At least they were asking questions.
They were asking questions about, it was a Frankie Edgar fight.
It was about, like, gardening?
Yes, they were like, Marcus was there.
Marcus.
Yes, and asked about, like, what's your
Maybe
favorite room
there.
In the Ultimate Fighter house? And, like, which had the most plants? Like, was the dumbest, like, how did you get a credential?
Was that him versus Penn?
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, no. this is what the future is going to come to when more mainstream media outlets cover fights.
When you get like 10 million hits per month, you can do stuff like that. No matter what the name of your outlet is, you can get away with it.
Come in and ask about what favorite ficus do you like. Like, what
I'm surprised that we ain't seen Perez Hilton here on none of them people. They're probably around here somewhere.
Yo, they're somewhere here. TMZ's around here somewhere.
Oh, we know they're here. They're everywhere.
Know they're here.
Yeah. Yo, I'll tell you, don't let me have too much Ciroc. We end up on TMZ.
Can't
It'd be
it.
All bad. It's better than MTO. Listen, we move up in the world.
Oh, see?
I'm sure they're here, too.
Anyway, so before I get on Kel, because you know I'm going to get on Kel about his pound-for-pound list, but Glasses Malone was on our show yesterday.
Okay.
Said that both Mayweather and Pacquiao were top five pound-for-pound all time already. You watched boxing for a long time. What do you think about that?
I think that's ridiculous, but I think that's also symptomatic of how much you know. I mean, if you kind of grew up in the TV era, you might think these two are the larger-than-life fighters. But if you look at some of the records, when you start going into boxing history is a couple hundred years old. You know, there were guys fighting back in the 1700s, 1800s. But when we get to modern boxing, you want to start maybe late 1800s to now. There's a lot of names. You know, you got Roberto Duran. You got Sam Langford. You got Harry Greb. You got Sugar Ray Robinson. You got the original Jack Dempsey. When you start going through all these names, you will get to about 50 fighters pretty quickly. You know, Willie Pep, you know, Sandy Sadler. You know, there's too many names to put them that high. For Mayweather, I will say he is the best matchmaker of all time, the best businessman of all time.
Oh, he's so smart with that, yo. That Canelo fight's going to look great on his resume when it's all said and done.
But top 10 fighter, no. And that's no knock on him. He's probably the best fighter I've seen live, you know, covering boxing, you know, in my lifetime. But right now, if I had to go off the top of my head, I might make Mayweather maybe top 25, and maybe Pacquiao maybe top 35.
Woo! Kel, where'd you have Mayweather on your list?
Yo, Mayweather was four.
Four.
Four on the list right now. Before Manny, Mayweather is four.
Wow.
It's three spots less than glasses. Now, but Mayweather is four right now.
Do you see the shit I got to deal with on my show? When somebody says, like, already, he hasn't fought Pacquiao yet.
When you dominate an era, great, you know, there was eras with great boxers, and people were third and fourth in their era. Right now, Floyd is the greatest in his era.
Okay.
Two decades, he has been the greatest fighter. You can go on my top five list because of that.
Okay, but you're discounting the fact that, all right, no surprise to Floyd, he became a world champion early in his career. He's been fighting since, what, 98?
98.
Right.
He didn't really get on pound-for-pound list until 2004? Was that when he was, like, behind Bernard Hopkins?
Right.
Now, up until that point, he beat Genaro Hernandez, beat Diego Corrales, which everybody was impressed with.
Yeah, that was great. Great win.
But does that put him ahead of a Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard,
right,
Marvin Hagler, Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran at lightweight, who ravaged everywhere? Chavez, senior, not junior.
You got to look at your record. Matter of fact, let's ask this. How many Hall
his
of Famers?
His record is unblemished, by the way.
Prime Hall of Famers does Floyd Mayweather have on his resume?
Prime Hall of Famers? I mean, do you want to count De La Hoya?
De La Hoya's not in his prime.
Past prime.
Oh, no. Past prime. Oh, when he
and nearly beat him.
No, I thought you meant in their prime would they be in the Hall of Fame. No. He hasn't fought anyone in their prime, which is why he's smart. He catches them before their prime or after it,
right?
But it looks amazing in hindsight.
Right.
20 years from now, people aren't going to remember when he fought them, just that they're on the list. And he's smart enough to do that. And that's the key with him. If he can catch, he missed the window for Thurman, where he could probably beat him and school him a little bit. That time is past. Thurman's, like, getting a little bit too good for that. If he can catch another young dude right before, like, let's say, you know, he somehow gets, like, Crawford to move up. Like, you know, someone, and he catches him. He's the heavier guy or something.
Right.
You never know. He catches it. Crawford goes on a run. That shit looks great 10 years from now. He's great at doing that, and his team is good at doing that.
And here's another thing that's interesting about Mayweather. He's been through so many weight classes. The only weight class where I would say he's probably arguably the best fighter would be at 130 pounds. I would really be hard-pressed to think anybody could beat him at that weight. But when you look at welterweight, 140 pounds, lightweight, would you make him a top 10 fighter in any of those weight classes? So when you look at welterweight, you're looking at Ray Leonard, Ray Robinson, Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran. Does he beat any of those guys?
All right. I'll answer your
question. Does he beat Wilfred Benitez?
I got one
does
question.
He even beat him?
Is it today's rules or is it then the rules back then?
Well, you know, some of those guys fought in the 80s, so we can go by 80s.
Yo, if we go 15 rounds.
15 rounds.
I'm taking Floyd against a good amount of them.
Really?
He's smart and he cannot be hit. There's something about not being hit after the fifth round. When you're not hit after the fifth round in a 12-round fight, you win 7-5. When you do that in a 15-round fight, you dominate 10-5. It's a whole different world. Guys get tired. Floyd doesn't get tired. You want to just say anything about him. Man doesn't get tired. His defense carries through front to back.
Right.
It'll be tough. He'll take a beating in those earlier rounds. Duran would have just tore him up. But I think he survives and he outboxes him. And Duran's conditioning wasn't the greatest either. And
we're talking about prime Duran, we're talking about lightweight Duran, 135 per round. Now, Floyd at lightweight, he had those two fights with Jose Luis Castillo.
It was
arguably lost the first fight. Second fight he did win, still kind of close, competitive. His other fight was against Victoriano Sosa. And I believe that was it. And
that
then
was
he
it.
Went
I was
to 140.
Say, I don't think he was there much longer than that. It was a quick transition.
You think he'll beat Duran at 135 pounds?
I think he can outlast him if it's 15 rounds.
Duran
was
a bull.
He could be knocked out by the sixth, so 15 might not matter.
And then we look at him at 140 pounds. And then you have, let's say, Aaron Pryor. You have Chavez Sr. You have Costa Zou. Does Mayweather beat those guys? Now, Mayweather's record at 140, he fought Gaddy, whitewash. You know that fight. He fought Sean Bray Mitchell. I believe, what was that, 147? Sean Bray was 147.
I think Sean Bray was 140.
I think Sean Bray was his debut at 147. So I think he actually fought Gaddy, and he fought DeMarcus Corley at 140.
Gave him a little bit of,
all right. That's his record at 140. Problems. So from what you saw at 140, is that good enough to beat all-time greats at that weight?
I think he can beat them. I think he's never settled into a weight class.
Right.
He's just never done it. I've always been an opinion. I said it before. If Floyd would have stuck with one weight class, people would have gave him more credit. Because right now he's jumped a bunch of weight classes, and still they say, well, you haven't beaten anyone, or you haven't beaten anyone in a prime. If he would have dominated and ran through a weight class, it would have looked way better at the end. If he would just ran 140 for 10 years, way better on his resume.
Right.
He was just chasing the money, though. Until he didn't care about legacy until this year.
And like, that's... Now, is that a plus or a minus? Because, like you said, it is a minus. Because you can't automatically give him a win like some people do. Oh, he'll beat Zoom. Oh, he'll beat Chavez. Or he would have beat Mosley 5 years ago if they would have fought. People automatically assume that. And I can't give him those wins. I can't give him wins over people that are more decorated at that weight class.
So that's what
makes his ranking kind of difficult. But, you know, I think Floyd, at the bare minimum, should be a top 25 fighter. But I can't rank him over guys that dominated their weight class, you know, 10, 15 title defenses.
Yeah, that's the key. He just moved around too much.
Right.
I think if he would have stayed at 140 for 10 years, he would have ran it.
Ismael's got you on your back foot, son.
But he chased the money. Like, that's cool.
Right.
That's a personal decision. Just talent-wise, he's in my top five. Because, yes, if he's at that weight class, he's preparing. He has his trainers. He has his knowledge. For any of those fighters, I like his chances. If he goes through a whole camp and gets to learn those fighters, I like his chances against all of them.
So he's like Batman. If he has time to prepare, he beats anybody.
That's it.
He beats anybody.
You ain't just throwing him in the ring. Like, if they just met up outside of Spring Mountain real quick and try to shoot the five, he's losing. Well, if you got time to prepare,
he
I
had
like
time to prepare
smarts,
for
like
Margarito. He had $8 million, and he still ain't want that.
Yo, listen, he's not stupid. I'm never going to accuse him of being stupid. He's ran for.
I think he would have won that fight, too, honestly. I think he would have beat Margarito.
He doesn't even chance it. Does he have the heart of those boxers? Probably not. I'm not weighing intangibles here. He is undefeated. His talent is incredible. And he's dodged people for the sake of being undefeated and making millions. He's getting $200,000 for this.
Right.
Or $200 million for this. Listen, it worked. I'm not knocking a man's strategy.
Now here's the interesting thing. Would you say that Pacquiao has a better record than Mayweather? Now, you look at the Marquez wins. You look at the Morales wins. You look at the Barrera wins. You could argue those are better than anything on Mayweather's record.
Floyd makes it look so effortless, though. I mean, Manny was in brawls with these guys.
Right.
I mean, and Floyd's had, two really where you look like you'd be like, you're like, yo, you know what, Floyd? You took a lot of damage, my man. Like, that was a tough fight. He has two, man. He has wars. Like, Andres has said it before. He didn't think Manny won the first three Marquez fights.
I never had yeah. Pacquiao beat Marquez in none of the fights.
So, I agree. I can't say that those wins were better because he didn't look as dominant. I just can't give him those. He has one hell of a resume. He doesn't back down from people. He has a different type of heart. He has the throwback spirit. He's a true boxer. Floyd's not that. Floyd was pretty boy for a reason. Before this money joint, he was pretty boy for a reason. He did not fake the funk. He was not trying to get hit in the face by someone in a prom.
He came into the game preserving himself from the start. And that's what I've always said about Floyd more than anything else. He understood. Like when we talked about John Jones on our last show, when some guys get to a certain height, they start drinking. They start partying harder.
Right.
Mayweather has never abused his body. It's always been about preservation, which makes him one of the greatest fighters of all time.
Very true.
But when we talk about Pacquiao, the big question is, if Pacquiao beats Floyd, what happens to Floyd's legacy?
Oh, before we even go there, what's your prediction?
Okay.
You didn't get the prediction.
Prediction, I'm going to go with Mayweather by decision, 115-113. But as soon as we're done, I'm going to put some money on a controversial Pacquiao split decision.
Okay.
Because some of the judges got me a little concerned. There's one judge that actually scored the fight, scored Bradley Pacquiao for Bradley, the first fight. So that lets me know that his scoring can be a little sketchy depending on what he's looking at. So I can see this fight being somewhat controversial.
Yo, a draw plays out really good right now.
It's
you put money on a draw, you're getting
changed. Now, five years ago, I would have went with Floyd like 118, 110. But I think he slowed down enough where Pacquiao can land that right hook, possibly take away his jab. Or should he take away his jab with the left hand? And, you know, Floyd likes to shoot those right hands with southpaws.
Yeah.
But he's not as accurate as he used to be. And he likes to try and go to the body. Remember, he got knocked down by Zab trying to go for a body shot.
Yeah.
Pacquiao's right hook has got a lot better. So if he can get a flash knockdown early or make Floyd a little bit more defensive early, he can get a kind of a controversial decision because you know his work rate is going to be there. Not his accuracy, but the work rate will be there.
So before we get out of here, real quick, like Andres just said, what question, happens if
Floyd loses? Because obviously Floyd's got a lot more to lose than Pacquiao.
Right.
If Pacquiao loses, it's okay.
Right.
He's expected to lose. He's been in a lot of wars.
Right.
But if Floyd loses, if Floyd gets flattened by Manny Pacquiao,
oh, wow.
What happens to Floyd's legacy?
Unfortunately for Floyd, he would be destroyed, and it would be because of his own making, because he put up his undefeated record as such a beacon of his greatness that everybody's going to discount everything that he's done for the last, two decades. And it shouldn't be like that. He is a Hall of Fame fighter, bar none, first ballot. He's won championships in every weight class. None of that should be discounted, but it's going to be because he's lifted his undefeated record as making him greater than everybody. So for him to get beat by the best fighter he ever faced, he would never get the full credit for his career from the public ever again. Even if he beat Pacquiao in the rematch, it wouldn't matter.
It'd be
so
done.
He has more pressure on him than Pacquiao, definitely, bar none.
Yeesh.
Well, came through dropping knowledge, though. Look at this.
Yep. Well, we got to get out of here,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we're out of here.
Appreciate you having me.
We'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, thank you for coming in. Thanks to all of our guests. Tomorrow, same time, if you're in the MGM, right after weigh-ins,
yep,
we'll be right back in here, Rouge Lounge, right next to the food court between everything. We can see the people behind us.
The action.
It's crazy right
now. They're harassing our guests.
Yo, Richard Schaefer just walked by about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, Schaefer walked by? Yo, see, we got to go chase people down, yo. All right, we're out. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
Peace.
Peace.
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.